Welcome to AUSA's Army Matter podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. Today, it's my pleasure to have as our guest, Belinda Hernandez, PhD. Dr. Hernandez is an assistant professor at the University of Texas Health Center at Houston. And Dr. Hernandez, or Belinda, welcome. I'm so happy that you're here with us today.
Thank you, Patty. I'm so honored to be here today.
One of the reasons why I really wanted to invite you on the call today is because you've got really an amazing story of professional development and career progression. You became an Army spouse before you received your PhD, and I imagine that the road to your professional career was not an easy one with all the moves you probably had to endure. Can you tell us a little bit about how all that happened?
So I was the first in my family to get a college degree, and I knew I wanted to go to graduate school and get a master's degree. You know, I wasn't expecting to get a PhD, but I had great mentors who were so supportive and were encouraging me to pursue a doctoral degree. And at the time, my husband was actually deployed in Iraq, and I was having to make this decision on whether or not I should get my doctorate. And I remember just not being sure what to do because we actually weren't married at the time. And I knew if I decided to get a doctorate, that would mean that I would be locked in Houston for a couple of more years because that's where I wanted to go to school. And it would be really hard for us to be together. And at the time, too, there were no online degree programs and no military installations that were in Houston that my husband could be stationed at. And I vividly remember one day just getting a phone call from my husband while he was in Iraq. And I was in the car driving home, and I received this call, and I just sort of pulled over to the nearest parking lot. And, you know, like getting these phone calls are rare from your loved ones when they're deployed, and you just feel like you have a million things to tell each other, but only a few minutes to talk. And I just vividly remember, I don't know why, I just remember sitting in the parking lot saying, I need your help. I don't know what to do. And so I asked him, what do you think we should do? And he just paused for a moment. He said, you just have to go for it, because if you don't, you'll really regret it. And I just thought about that. I was like, you know what? He's right. I would regret it. So I ended up applying to UT Health, and I got accepted there, and I started my coursework as soon as I finished my master's. You know, I wanted to try to finish the classes as fast as I could so that my husband and I could be together. And about the time I finished my classes and started on my dissertation research, my husband got stationed in San Antonio, Texas. And in my field, once you finish your coursework, you have to do your dissertation research, but you essentially can do your research really anywhere in the world. And my research interest has always been on military children. So I was lucky to get connected with the Adolescent Medicine Clinic at Fort Sam Houston, which is in San Antonio, and was able to move back to San Antonio, where my husband was at, and do my research there. And my husband and I got married while we were kind of both in San Antonio, kind of within, you know, that short time that we moved back. But within 6 months of getting married, my husband got orders to go to Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Oh, no.
And so we knew, though. I know. And so, but we knew, unfortunately, too, that unit that he was going to be with, that they were going to deploy, too. So I thought, okay, why am I going to go to North Carolina? And within 6 months, my husband's going to deploy, and I'm going to be by myself with no family. And I still haven't had my dissertation research completed. So we both thought about it, and we said, you know what? You know, it's best that you just stay behind, finish your research, and my husband then will go to North Carolina and deploy. And during that time, I'll try to finish my research. So that's what I did. I stayed behind and I finished my research, and he moved to North Carolina. He deployed soon after that to Afghanistan. And so it was a little stressful time, you know, trying to focus on your research, but having your loved one, you know, constantly on your mind. But I did end up finishing my research, and I defended my dissertation while my husband was in Afghanistan. And when you defend your dissertation, it's a pretty big deal. You know, it's a bigger deal than just walking the stage at graduation. You know, if you pass your defense from that moment on, you officially get your doctorate degree, and you can be called doctor from that moment on. And so So it's a big deal. And I don't know how my husband was able to pull this off, but while he was deployed, he actually called in on a conference phone to hear my dissertation. And that's where I get a little emotional, because it was a really special moment for me, because, you know, he was in Iraq when I graduated my master's degree. So he never got to see me walk the stage then. Mm-hmm. And to have him be here for my defense, you know, even if it was by phone, you know, in the middle of this war zone, you know, and he called in. And so he was able to hear it and hear me present my research. And it was just a special moment that I will never forget. I think we both sort of shed tears at the end of it, because it was this culmination of just stress and the sacrifices that we were going through at the time. You know, it was just, and that moment became really, you know, real for us then. Also wanted to say what made it really even more humbling and special to me at the time too, was that my dissertation research was looking at how a deployment may impact children and military families. So it was very humbling, because I was very cognizant and aware that as I'm presenting my findings, you know, there were men and women who were deployed and separated from their children, you know, at that very moment. And so it just made it so real for me too. And I think for the people who were in the room hearing my dissertation, to have my husband, you know, call in from Afghanistan, and knowing that he's surrounded too by other soldiers who are parents, and it just made the research very real and put, you know, made the data, like, made us really aware that there's people behind this data and it's happening at this very moment. So it was all just a very special and humbling moment for all of us.
That is such a beautiful story, Belinda. It really is. And, you know, so many pieces to it. First off, that you have that here you are, first generation to go to college. You meet a soldier, you fall in love. He gets deployed. You're working on your master's. There's talent that's there that's seen by your professors. They encourage you to get a PhD, and yet it means separation still from a loved one. You make that decision to continue to be separated until you finish the PhD. To me, that says that soldier also was thinking about you. It's not always us thinking about the soldier. It's also that connection that we have to each other, right? And he wanted you to be happy. He wanted you to go for your dream. And you do it. And then everything kind of aligns where you're able to be in one place so you can, you know, do what you needed to do. But the fact that while he's deployed, he understood how important that moment was for you, and to surprise you like that and call in. I'm getting goosebumps, and I'm actually getting teary myself just thinking about it. That's a beautiful story. But after he returns, you're now Dr. Hernandez, and how did you come across the position that you're in now? Has it been the only position you've been in? Or I guess what I'm asking is, how did your career progress from that point?
Yes. So I feel I've been really blessed. You know, the position I have now kind of fell in my lap. You know, I got my doctorate from UT Health, and soon after I graduated, there was a faculty position at the San Antonio campus. And so that's where both my husband and I are from. So it was really exciting to see this position open. But of course, this position opens while my husband is still deployed in Afghanistan. So again, I'm having to make this decision while he's away. Like, he still had at least like another 6 months of deployment left. And at the time, though, we thought that eventually after he deploys, he'd be able to come back to Texas right after his deployment. You know, we weren't sure if it would be in San Antonio, but we thought, oh, he would be able to get back to Texas. And so we thought about it, you know, and we thought it was really good opportunity for me to get some experience as a faculty member, because I didn't have any experience. So we both decided that I should just go for it and get that kind of experience, even if it was just for a year. But it was a good opportunity. So my husband thought, you know, don't pass it up. Like, you should just apply and go for it. So I did, and I ended up getting the position. But you know, the military can be unpredictable at times. And so my husband ended up staying at Fort Bragg for another year after his deployment. And so it was much longer than what we had expected. We just thought he'd be there another few months and then after his deployment, then come back to Texas. But while he's in Fort Bragg, you know, I became so invested in my work at UT that it became hard to leave, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, now I'm invested in this research. I'm building this up. And it's hard for me just to leave and take that somewhere else. So my husband was able to eventually make his way back, though, to after Fort Bragg. He came back to Texas, but he was at Fort Hood, which is about 2 or 2.5 hours north of San Antonio. And so what he eventually did was become a weekend husband, you know, so we would just see each other on the weekends. And then eventually, you know, we had our first child. So he became a weekend dad and we would just see each other on the weekends and we would have, you know, see each other during the holidays. And so we would always love those 4-day weekends because it meant that we could spend more time with each other. And I used to think that we were unique in doing this, mm-hmm. but I actually now I encounter many other families and many other military families doing this, especially if they have kids. You know, many families don't want to be moving their kids around if they're in school. So they actually choose to have one parent stay in one location and the other one commutes back and forth. And it works for some families, but not all. And it's definitely not easy, but it can work. And it's really, you know, based on trust and patience and really having that understanding. And so I've stayed at UT. My husband is now stationed at Fort Belvoir, which is in Virginia. And now I'm the one who's going back and forth. But I've been very fortunate and extremely blessed because my work has given me such extreme, you know, flexibility and giving me the time that I need to be with my family. And I feel very blessed to have such a supportive employer. You know, and it can be difficult, you know, professionally as well, because I'm traveling back and forth and I may not be able to engage in certain projects that I would normally be able to if I was just more stationary. But, you know, you make it work for you. And for me, I thought it'd be really great if I can make connections out here in Virginia and do some research here, especially research with the military, because that's been such a passion of mine, especially with military kids. And so with the DOD having a strong presence here and there being so many organizations here that support military families, I've tried to take advantage of this and I built some connections and with the National Military Family Association. And through that contact, I was able to get connected with the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. And now I'm collaborating with both organizations and it's been a really great experience and partnership.
That's, again, another fantastic phase of your story, which is, like you said, not unusual for our families. A lot of our families, especially where you have a professional spouse, someone that has, you know, a career that really demands sometimes having to be away from your loved one. And so here you both are continuing to make sacrifices for both of your careers. And now you have, is it a little girl or a little boy?
Boy. So we actually have 3 kids now. So a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and one that just turned 1 year.
Oh, bless your heart. So all of you as a family unit, as a military family unit, are making it work. And I imagine that the times that you're all together are very, very special times. But as you said, it isn't easy. It absolutely isn't easy. And it's finding those support systems. But more than anything else is working on that marriage to make it so that both sides understand that in the long run, this is going to be good for everyone involved. So congratulations on that. And your husband, who is at Fort Belvoir, he's not far from us. So one of these days, we're going to have to invite him over so we could feed him a nice dinner or a nice lunch or something. I want to ask you then about how you mentioned the National Military Family Association introducing you to the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. Here at AUSA, we love both of those organizations very much and are proud to work with them. One of the things that I've been involved with, of course, is their study on the impact that caregiving and living in a home where there is a wounded, ill, or injured soldier or service member, what that does to the children. It seems to align very well with your passion and all of the things that you've been interested in since you started this journey. Tell us how you got involved with Elizabeth Dole and what you're doing for them right now.
Sure. So I got connected with the Elizabeth Dole Foundation through the National Military Family Association. Like I said, I was just out here and research with military kids has been a passion. So I said, let me get connected out here. And I really just cold called people. And I said, hey, I love doing research with military families. How can I help you? And this became one of the issues that came up. And so we know that there are an estimated 5.5 million caregivers of wounded, ill, and injured military service members and veterans. And the wounds and injuries range, and, you know, there's different types. But we also know many of these caregivers are also parents. So about 39% of post-9/11 caregivers and 20% of pre-9/11 caregivers have at least one child under the age of 18 years living with them. So there's a large population of caregivers who are also parents. However, there's been very little research on how caregiving may impact these children. And we know from studies conducted among civilian populations that there may be both negative and positive effects. So for example, children who are part of caregiving families, that what we see in the civilian side, that they're more at risk for experiencing depression, anxiety, and having school problems. But they may also be more likely to have greater empathy for older adults, you know, especially if they're helping their parents take care of a grandparent. You know, we find that these children have greater empathy for older adults and have increased bonding with the parent caregiver. With that said, though, we don't know, though, if what we see in the civilian side, if we would see similar outcomes with military families. There's virtually been very little studies done in this area. And so that's what we're hoping to answer with this study and working with the Elizabeth Dole Foundation and NMFA is trying to see how the caregiving may impact these children. And so this is the first study to look at this. So it's very exploratory, and we still have a lot to learn. And what we are doing is we're surveying families who have at least one parent who is currently in the military or who has served in the military and who also have children between the ages of 9 and 17. And we're surveying one parent and one child within each family. And we're also wanting to survey both caregiving families and families who are not caregivers so that we can make comparisons between the two groups and to see if children from caregiving families are in fact at greater risk for some of these outcomes.
So did you find all the families that you needed for this survey? Is that still something that families can get involved in, or are you in the middle of the study now?
Yes. So we're actually in the middle of the study now. We found that a lot of caregivers have been wanting to participate. And so that's one of the things that sort of has stood out to me is just the sheer number of caregivers that there are. You know, we knew there are 5.5 million, and so we knew that there would be a lot of caregivers, and there's so many caregivers who are wanting to contact us to participate in the study. But it's been a little difficult for us to recruit families that do not have a caregiver in order to kind of do that comparison and distinguish. And I think that's in part because of just the large number of caregivers there are. And I also think that it's caregivers who are really wanting to be heard on this issue too, as well. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you know, finding that comparative group and finding those families, those military families who are not caregivers, it's been a little bit difficult. And so, and there's still so much to learn from them. So we're still actively recruiting. So if people are interested, then they can contact us for participate if they want to participate.
When do you expect the study to be completed, and how do you anticipate that the results will be rolled out?
Sure. So we're wanting to finish the data collection by the end of March. And then after that, we'll use the next few months to clean and analyze the data. And we're hoping that we can start sharing some of the results by the end of summer. So there is still time for people who are interested and wanting to participate. We would love to have anyone who's interested to contact me and participate.
That's fantastic. And I know that this has been a real push from the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. Their Hidden Heroes campaign certainly has raised awareness of the challenges that caregivers face, but this is like the next stage to really think about the children. And I'm just so proud of Steve Schwab and his team over at the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. Certainly Senator Dole, Senator Elizabeth Dole, and Senator Bob Dole have given their all to this effort. And I think it's going to be very, very helpful to all of us in this space to see how we can best support the children of caregivers and wounded, ill, and injured service members. And Belinda, you've landed in such a great space and working and following your passion for the military community and your academic work. What advice would you give to a young military spouse that might want to follow in that same path of academics, maybe pursuing a PhD, a master's even? It's not easy. So what would you tell them?
So yeah, it's not easy, but it's totally, you know, possible. So nowadays, there's so many more graduate schools offering online programs. And it was something, you know, if this is something that you're really interested in doing, I would definitely suggest exploring that interest. You can get master's degrees and even some doctorate degrees completely online, which is a great option for a military spouse. And because there are more online degree programs, there are universities that are supporting faculty to teach online courses. You know, so this wasn't an option for me when I was first starting out, but I'm seeing more opportunities like this, which is great for military spouses. And there's also military units that are really supportive in one way or another of spouses pursuing academic careers. You know, the military also offers tuition assistance and various programs for dependents that can fund some of these programs. And so I would, you know, try to talk to someone at your local installation and ask questions, because there are people willing to help. And then also, you know, if you find a particular degree program that you're really interested in, I would encourage you to reach out to the faculty at the university to see what the course load is like and the average time it takes for students to complete the program. You can also just talk to them about life in academia and what their experience has been like. We get contacted all the time by prospective students and faculty. We're always willing to talk. So don't be afraid to reach out.
That's really great advice, because I think the more you know, the more you can plan your path towards success. And you can be successful as a military spouse in almost anything that you'd like to do. It's just that the path is not a straight line, as you know. It's very, very ziggy zaggy. And I also want to let our listeners know that we at AUSA have been honored to be a part of this initiative that the Elizabeth Dole Foundation has rolled out. So when the study becomes public, we will definitely make sure that all of our listeners get an opportunity to know about it. And we'll probably invite them to come to the podcast and give us some of their thoughts around the results. So I'm very excited about what's going to be happening. So Belinda, we're winding down with our time together. Are there any last thoughts that you would like to share with our audience?
I'll just say going to graduate school and pursuing a career in academia can be difficult, but what helped me is reminding myself that the sacrifices we are making now are temporary. Things do come to an end, and it also helped having a really supportive spouse and a great support system. I couldn't have done this alone. So if you are interested, I would say to talk with your spouse to make sure this is what is best for your family, and make sure you have a really strong support system, and reach out to faculty for guidance and advice. I'm happy to talk to anyone who may be interested in pursuing this as a career.
That's fantastic. And I would say that it's perfect timing. The Chief of Staff of the Army, General James McConville, has really made his quality of life initiatives centered around family, centered around success for military spouses in whatever they would like to pursue. So I have to echo all your sentiments. You know, get involved, find out, reach out. And Belinda is making herself available, folks. So make sure you take her up on it.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Thought Leaders. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@ausa.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.